Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry designed for you to fail. Hey, 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 it's me popping in with a little update. First of all, I want to say thank you to everybody who has supported the podcast so far. You guys are incredible. I absolutely love the support and the notes you guys leave me, the messages you guys send me. It's been fantastic. I came home from a trip to Las Vegas. We had a gymnastics competition and I had two messages from taco buyers. So I wanted to read them. This one says, Roberta, you're so cool. I've been listening to you as a guest on podcasts for so long, and I was so happy to see that you've made your own podcast. I sent you a message called Stop Motion Amway, which was one of the more bizarre reasons that I became anti-MLM. I think your work is so important and I appreciate all you're doing for vulnerable populations. And girl, I totally think we could be friends. Enjoy your tacos. Best, Kim. Kim, I listened to your message. And by the way, also thank you to everyone who has sent me messages about being pitched so far. They are funny and they are great and I love them so far. But I listened to Stop Motion Amway and I completely agree with you. I think we could be friends for sure. Thank you for the tacos. We got them and they were amazing. Secondly, thank you to Helen, who is from Australia. It says, greetings from Perth, Australia. I love your podcast and all that you do. Keep shining, my dear. You're a star. Oh, thank you so much. I totally want to hear that in your accent, though. I'm sure it's way better than mine. Another thing, we have over 26,000 downloads, so close to 27. It's crazy. You guys, this is insane. It is growing so much faster than I thought. I'm so happy that we're reaching so many different audiences, so many different continents and so many different countries and so many different places. It's really, really incredible. And you guys, oh my gosh, you are seriously like the best fans in the whole entire world. I love you guys so much. Okay, so really quick heads up on this next episode. We did have a bit of technical difficulties with sound. We could not find a microphone that worked. We tried two different computers, like four different microphones, and this was the best that we could do. It's a little loud on his end, so I would advise you right now to just maybe turn down your volume a couple ticks. I don't want to blast you out if you're listening to this in headphones. I would hate for you to have ringing in your ear for 5 minutes because of it. So just turn your volume down and adjust accordingly. I apologize. There wasn't any way that I could fix it. That's why I need the donations so that I can get better sound recording programs. So again, thank you guys for all of your support. I hope you enjoy this episode. It's unlike anything we've done so far. It's a little blast from the past and it's a really cool episode, so enjoy.
You think it matters that it was 1990 when I did this?
Or? Nah.
Yeah, okay.
Nah, right. I think it's cool.
Okay, great.
I like to show the history of it too, because I think people need to see that it's insidious and it's been happening for a really long time, even before this new movement, you know? So I think it is really important.
Okay, fantastic.
All right, so today I've got sort of something different and I'm kind of excited about it to learn about this as well. I have as a guest Skip Press, who contacted me. We met on Clubhouse and he contacted me and said, hey, I have a story you might be interested in. So welcome, Skip. And can you tell everybody who you are?
Hi there. I'm an author of a lot of books, screenwriter. I teach screenwriting and teach writing. I've been doing all that for about 30 years. And before all that, I was a communications coordinator for the Sunrider Company in Torrance, California, Sunrider International. And I was in charge of their putting out their magazines, their newsletters, their videos, and putting on a convention for 2,000 people, representatives of theirs from 10 countries around the world. And I was just newly married, had my first kid on the way. My wife was very pregnant when I got involved in this. And I thought, well, this is good. It's a nice corporate thing. And the money was okay, you know. And I'd been doing other things before that. And the writing life was up and down. So I was glad to get the job. And then because of things I found out, it didn't last very long. So that's what I can tell you about.
And so for people listening, Sunrider is actually a multi-level marketing company that used to be in Utah. We talk about Sunrider. I mentioned Sunrider in my interview with Ryan. And it was in Utah, but like you said, it moved to Torrance, California. So they got into some hot water in the 90s, and that's the reason you're here. So let's talk about this. Tell me what happened. Tell us what went on with Sunrider in the 1990s.
Okay. Well, so they hired me because I could do video. I'd done some how-to videos. I'd edited magazines. I had written screenplays. I had done just about everything needed for their communications department. There were 20 people working in communications, so people that did graphics, other writers, one of whom was hired after I came on board, two of whom were on board when I came in, and none too happy that they didn't get my job. And so it was kind of interesting. And in my desk, it took about, a month before I discovered in my desk files left behind by the previous communications coordinator. And those were very revealing.
Oh, wow.
And I started digging in it, and I found that Sunrider seemed to have this proclivity for hiring a communications coordinator just before their big yearly convention of, in my case, 2,000 people from around the world, 10 countries around the world where they were selling their products. And I thought, well, you know, everybody likes me here. I'm working directly with the CEO, Tefu Chin. And, you know, I started trying the products. And he and his wife, who is or was legitimately a medical doctor, were just thrilled that I was actually doing their products. I mean, you know, taking their products. And their sort of a lead-in product was this herbal tea that was powdered and you mixed it up, right? And so I started drinking it, you know, because I like to drink, you know, coffee, tea, water, soda, whatever during the day, you know, while I'm working. And so one Saturday, we lived in Redondo Beach at the time. And one Saturday I was drinking the tea in the morning, and I started noticing that a lot of cleaning needed to be done around the apartment, including a skylight that was, and I had to get a ladder and climb up and clean this skylight. And I was like, yeah, God, I didn't notice that dirt before. Wow. You know, I really got to clean this. And so my wife at the time, she was like, he has gone out of his gourd, you know? And so she was like, why are you so energetic? I said, I don't know. All I had was some tea. You know, I woke up, I had some tea. I just feel energetic. So she thought, this is nuts. So I started looking into the ingredients of the tea. You know, it didn't really say anything about caffeine much, you know, but it did say one ingredient, Mormon tea. Now, that's an existing thing. You can look up Mormon tea. And Sunrider originated in Utah. And when it started in Utah, a lot of Mormons were distributors for it. And Tefu was working as a lab assistant, and his wife was a medical doctor, you know, and so he came up with this. They were both from Taiwan, I think. I know he was. They came up with this, this, you know, let's do Asian herbs and sell them like Amway. That's a pretty good idea, you know, and I was already a fan somewhat of Asian herbs. So Mormon tea is ephedra. Ephedrine. I was speeding my butt off. And not only that, I thought, this is screwed up, you know, and I, you know, so had a baby on the way. I wasn't going to blow it, you know, with a job. I was going to ride that out and see, you know, see what happens. And then I found out that Sunrider had been sued twice by distributors, both of whom were chiropractors, both of whom were martial arts enthusiasts, like Tefu Chin, founder of Sunrider, both of whom were kicked off Olympic teams that they qualified for because they had drugs in their system, ephedra.
Oh my God. What?
And did that change Sunrider from selling Mormon tea? No, they just paid the guys off and went on with it, right? So anyway, they had a company video that had been produced by some guys, an agency in Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City guys came after I got hired, and there's three of them. They were all in suits, you know. And so we went out to dinner in Torrance, California, by the Fashion Mall, a nice restaurant, really nice restaurant. And Oi Lin Chin, the doctor, the wife, you know, I guess she's co-founder, I don't know. She's there, she's got on a wig. And I'm like, oh, you know, what's going on, you know? And she sees me look at her and she says, oh, I'm having cancer. You know, I mean, I'm fighting cancer. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then she has a full meal, just like everybody else. Afterward, the ad guys are telling me, hey, Skip, you know, you're very competent. You've put out videos, how-to videos. You had one mentioned in People magazine. You know, we did a little research on you. We want to keep working with Sunrider. We want to keep doing videos with them. I said, yeah, okay. You know, it's on a case-by-case basis with me, but, you know, your video is pretty good. It was okay, you know, and it cost the company $350,000 for about a, 15-minute video, something like that. You know, it was a rah-rah video for Sunrider. All right. So I keep finding things out. And there is a girl there who's kind of their PR girl. We'll call her Sherry. And Sherry was quite good looking, married to a local policeman, quite flirtatious. And so she's flirting with me. I'm in a conference room with the convention planner that we hired to run that, set everything up. And Sherry pops in and she's looking kind of tan. And I said, oh, where'd you go? And she said, oh, we went to a Dodger game. And she lifts up her skirt and shows me where she got a little burn on her thighs, you know. And the female convention planner, when Sherry left, says, "Does she always do that?" And I said, not that I know of, you know, I think she knows I'm married and I know she's married, and, you know, it was obvious, you know, come on. And then when, the convention was going to take place, they would rent hotel rooms at the, in the city where the convention was located, which was nearby. You know, I don't think it was, it might've been Irvine, you know, it's a big hotel, 2000 people, right? And Sherry was calling me and said, "Hey, are you gonna spend the night at the hotel before the day before the convention?" So, you know, a bunch of us are. I am. I've got my own room. And
I'm like, sometimes the behavior of people that work for companies like this astounds me. Where I'm just like, I hear it, and it's shocking, but I'm also not at all surprised. Because I've seen and heard those in other companies too.
Yeah, yeah, and then before the convention happened, Sherry drags her policeman husband in, and introduces him to me, and he's like, "Huh, well, you know, you're not at all what I thought I'd meet." And so, God knows what's going on. And then a guy, Larry, the guy who is the art director who really wanted my job, he pulls me aside. He says, "Look, you know, you got to stay away from her, okay?" You know, I'm like, "All right," you know. And then at the convention, Sherry meets my very pregnant wife, who is quite pretty, you know, a Ford model, you know, when I met her. And Sherry's sort of like smiling at me, and Debbie's just like kind of boiling because of the vibes Sherry, right? So that's a little bit of the social atmosphere that was going on at Sunrider. You know, I mean, this is really a sitcom the whole time.
Yeah, so it's just so toxic.
Yeah, completely. But
again, like I said, not surprising at all.
Yeah. So then I found out, you know, all about the products. I put out maybe two newsletters, maybe three, because I ended up being there only about 3 months. And, you know, and what Sunrider would do was they would hire somebody to get the convention going, you know, and making sure that came off okay. And then it would be like, "Well, we don't need you anymore," because, it, you know, 3 months is the cutoff point where you have to have a reason to fire somebody afterward. Right. And they've done that more than once. And this is why I found the ladies' files and everything who'd been before me, and why it just seemed like everything was just abandoned. You know, like she just didn't clear out things or whatever. Right. But I didn't know about the 3 month thing and those practices until the convention was over, you know. So we have the convention. And I took the Salt Lake City video and got it translated into several different languages to accommodate the people with different languages who were coming there from all over the world. We even the Australian people, they didn't like the American version because they thought it was too pushy. So I hired Jack Thompson, very famous actor from Australia, to go, you know, "Hey, mate, Sunrider, it's all right now. You got to try it," you know, that kind of thing. And so as people came into the convention, walking down a long hallway, they could stop at like six different big screen TV platforms and watch the company video in their language. And in addition to that, we did a super duper multimedia presentation slideshow for the convention itself, put together by some award-winning guys. You know, we spent only $50,000 on that. And I got a very well-known friend of mine, an actor named Manu Tupou, who had been in one of the Man Called Horse movies with Richard, Richard Harris. And so Manu did this, and he was known for a commercial of Herbal Essence shampoo, you know, and he'd played Black Elk Speaks on Broadway, you know, quite a guy, you know. So this thing was very impressive when shown on stage to the 2000 distributors who showed up. And so, you know, I looked like, you know, I was really making things happen. I thought, well, this is pretty good. You know, I'm not drinking that damn tea anymore, but maybe the other stuff's good. You know, I don't know. And, you know, and what they did was they would, it was real, really to the heart, middle class sales pitch. When you sold a certain amount of stuff, and they, you know, they would front load a ton of product on somebody when they first started. But when you sold a certain amount of stuff, got a certain amount of people under you in your Ponzi, I mean, pyramid, they, potato. Yeah. They would start making your car payment and making your house payment. Hey, who can argue with that, right? You know, Sunrider. Yeah, it's all great, right?
A lot of MLMs do the car payment one.
Oh, really?
You hit a certain rank. Yeah. And they'll recruit be like, oh, you're going to get a free car when you hit this rank. And it's like, it's not a free car. It's a lease that you sign and you handle. And then if you qualify, the company cuts you a check for what the payment would be. And if you don't qualify, you're still on the hook for that payment because it's a lease that you signed.
Maybe that's what they did. I don't know. You know, so, oh my God, you know, yeah, so it
the
was
company high, has no responsibility to that. They just cut you a check if you qualify.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. Well,
yeah. I think that's like an eye-opening thing for people when they realize it. They're like, wait, what? I thought it was free. And we're like, oh wait, when we said free, what we meant was scam.
Okay. Well, all right. So it gets better or worse, much worse. So I had a choice with the convention planner. She said, look, we can get Rita Moreno, you know, West Side Story, fantastic entertainer, blah, 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 blah. Or we can get Marie Osmond. And I said, okay, you know, Marie Osmond. We're going with Marie Osmond. Well, but Maria, you know, I think Rita's got a better act. I guess she knew Rita. I don't know. You know, Rita Moreno is fantastic, you know, legend. But we got Marie Osmond. And Marie Osmond's, one of her brothers, one of the lesser talented ones, I guess, I don't know, had, you know, had been a Sunrider distributor when they started in Utah.
Of course he was.
Yeah. So, you know, and I really did everything I could to make this convention a hit. Teifu, who had huge calluses on his knuckles from his martial arts stuff. I think he punched rice, you know, rice in barrels. You punch rice and it builds up these thick knuckle things. So Teifu was like, you know, you had to come in on July 4th. We have to talk about my speech. And I'm like, well, yeah, come on. My wife's pregnant. You know, I really don't. July 4th, I want a day off. No, you had to come in. I'm like, okay. So I did. I went in and I'm helping him plan stuff. I'm telling him everything we've got lined up. And then he has a soft moment and he says, you know, my company makes $28 million a month and I get a third of that. And I'm like, oh, that's great. I said, you should take some time off. Why are you working so hard? I don't know. You know, I was really happy when I was a lab assistant in Utah before Sunrider. I said, oh, well, gosh, man, I mean, you know, cut yourself some slack, give yourself a break. No, I had to grow the company. You know, and I'm like, Okay, so, you know, I helped him with his stupid speech. I put together the multimedia show, which blew everybody away, later won an award. And Marie Osmond gets on stage, and, you know, she doesn't know. And she starts off talking to the audience, says, yeah, I was just backstage talking to Skip Press, the communications coordinator. You guys all know Skip, right? And it's just like dead silence. Nobody knows who the hell I am. There was one thing in a Sunwriter newsletter that showed me and the other writers, you know, and it was just a passing thing. So nobody knew or gave a damn. Nobody said, hey, Skip made all these videos you were watching coming in. Skip wrote this thing, you know, nothing like that from the chin. So, oh, no, you know. And so they're calling this convention. They're calling this convention, oh God, Chariot to the Sun. That's Chariot to the Sun, right?
Wow. That's
what an image.
That definitely conveys an image for sure.
Yeah, it's like some crazy Egyptian pharaoh driving into the sun with his, I don't know, whatever, you know.
Like very powerful and empowering and wow, yeah. Just full of bullshit, really.
Yeah, right. So of course, Tefu and his wife have to ride up on stage on this big ramp in a horse-drawn chariot, right? So I'm standing backstage, and the damn chariot, one wheel, is about to go off of the ramp. And I rush up and push the damn thing. I, you know, pushed the chariot, you know, and kept it on the ramp, you know, and kind of wrenched my back a little bit. It was like, oh, shit, you know. But, you know, anything for the cause, right? So, and then Oilin Chen gets up there and does his little soap opera speech and goes, you know, people contact me and tell me how much they love me and how sorry they are for me because I have cancer and I'm fighting cancer. But, you know, now my doctors say that my cancer is going to be cured. And the way that is being cured is when I found out I had cancer, I started eating Sunwriter products and only Sunwriter products. And that's what cured my cancer.
Yeah! What?
She gets a standing ovation.
It's incredible. So she gets up. This is the owner of Sunwriters, like the wife, the woman,
yeah.
Okay. This is the wife of Sunwriter's owner or whatever. She's an owner too.
Yeah.
Stands up. She's been claiming she has cancer this whole time.
Right.
And she's now.
And she's a medical doctor.
And she's a medical doctor. And she's now confessing to all of her worshipers who are just waiting with bated breath to hear what she has to say, that her cancer is now cured. And the reason it's cured is because as soon as she found out she had cancer, she doubled down on the Sunwriter products.
That's right. And I had been
incredible.
I'd been at a dinner with her, with, you know, Salt Lake City video maker agency guys. And she's scarfing down regular food just like crazy. She's not eating Sunwriter products. You know, she's excuse me. It gets me going thinking about these crazy people.
Did she actually have cancer?
Yes, she did.
She did. Okay.
Yeah. So she wasn't
faking it, at least.
No, she beat cancer with regular medical means.
So she went with chemo or radiation or whatever was available.
Bet she did, because she lost her hair and she was wearing a wig. Right.
Oh, I see. So she's wearing a wig, claiming it's that her hair didn't come out and that she didn't have to have chemo because Sunwriter.
No, she didn't claim her hair didn't come out. She was just like, you know, the cancer made my hair fall out or something like that. You know, it was.
And nobody tried to debunk any of her claims.
I didn't hear about it. You know, so it was like, oh my God.
And everybody believed and said, wow, Sunwriter cured her cancer.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
Yeah. And so in the 20 people working under me, including three writers, there was a woman who'd been on maternity leave, who'd been there a long time. And she had not run the communications department, but she kind of been the one who was there the longest. It was kind of the executive there, kind of, you know. She couldn't do the stuff that I did at all. But she was gunning for me because she knew that it would become obvious that she was not needed at all, right? So with the convention, everything was good. You know, my wife was, let's see, when was it? You know, she was probably 3 months away from giving birth, something like that. And, but very pregnant. And so, you know, I thought, well, you know, we're living in the South Bay. There's a few hinky things about the company, but let's just check this out. You know, and I actually had people calling me saying, maybe you should come work for us. You know, because they thought, you know, somehow the word got around that I was doing a pretty good job, right? With this stuff. And who knows? So my back felt a little funky after, you know, I saved the chariot. And so I call in on Monday to HR lady and I said, hey, you know, my back's feeling a little funky. I had to push that chariot and stuff, and I'm going to go see a chiropractor, so I'll be in late. So she calls me back and says, you're fired. I said, what do you mean I'm fired? You can't fire me for going to, you know, something that I did while on the job. You're fired, you know. And she was, God knows what this woman knew and had seen over the years and covered up and looked the other way. And so, you know, then I figured out the deal, you know. It was like, you know, right before the 3 month cutoff where and so I'm like, okay.
And especially whatever. If you're now a medical liability.
Oh yeah.
They're like, workman's comp, you're fired.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And at the time I was like, you know, to hell with it. I didn't think of lawyers or anything, you know. I was just, you know, my wife and my son on the way, and you know, I didn't give a damn. I was like, whatever, you know, because I'd been a freelancer forever, and still am. And so I get a phone call at home, and it's from a woman who was over on Terminal Island, had an office on Terminal Island down by San Pedro. And she was sort of like the local representative of the California state equivalent of the Food and Drug Administration. And she says, so you were working at Sunrider. You're not there anymore, right? Yeah, why? Did I do something wrong? She said, no, but we would really like to talk to you. So I'm like, oh, okay. Can you come to our office? And I said, you sure I'm not in any trouble? Oh, no, just come on over. You know, so I drive over there, and she pulls out a cardboard box about as high as a paper grocery store bag, full of 1 and 2 sheet complaints about Sunrider and products and crap like the Speedy Tea from all over the state of California and elsewhere. And so they were cruising for Teifu Chen because Sunrider had been violating the hell out of things for a long time. And she said, so can you tell us about any claims they're making? And I said, well, they don't tell you what Mormon tea is. Yeah, we know that. Now, how about where they get their products and everything? And I said, oh, they have their own farms and stuff on Taiwan. You know, it's very carefully controlled and blah, 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 blah. Says so right in the company video. And also Teifu said so, reminded the audience at the convention. You know, I mean, it's, you know, I guess, I don't know about that tea, but you know, the rest of the stuff, I guess it's pretty good. I don't know. You know, she said, bullshit.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah. And she said they're buying their ingredients on the market. You know, they're just on a free market. They're not raising their own stuff. They don't have carefully controlled conditions and all that sort of stuff. That's part of the complaints that we have. And I'm like, oh boy. Well, I guess I dodged a bullet getting out of there. She said, you sure did. You need me for anything else? No. Mm-mm. No, that's fine. So I think maybe a month goes by. Hi, is this Skip Press? Yeah, who's calling? I'm so-and-so. I'm from Inside Edition, the TV show. Have you ever seen it? And I said, yeah. Bill O'Reilly, that guy, loudmouth Bill O'Reilly. You know, he's really something. Yeah, that's him. We want you to be on the show with Bill O'Reilly. No. We're gonna come out and we're gonna interview you and talk about Sunrider. And I'm like, well, okay, whatever. So they come out.
At what point, like at this point, are you thinking, like, man, what did I actually get myself into?
Yeah, and out
of Inside Edition is interested now. So this seems a little bigger than just California.
Yeah, it was. And so hold on. God, I'm loosening my lungs up here. So they interview me on camera, you know, and my wife, you know, this time we have the baby, you know, and she's got a job working at Rockwell as an assistant to one of their top lawyers. And I think the Sunrider guys found that out and they went, wait a minute, you know, he's connected to a top lawyer, you know, we don't want to mess with him. And so, and I'd worked in law firms doing word processing over the years. So I knew a lot of top lawyers. So I don't think they wanted to mess with me. So, you know, I'm on the sun, but she's going, Inside Edition? What are you going to do in Inside Edition? I don't know. They want me to talk about Sunrider. What are you going to tell them? Everything they want to know. So
that's exactly what happened to me when like the media came to me about the MLM I was involved with. It was like, you know, like, what are you going to tell them? I was like, everything. Like, I'm going to tell them everything.
Yeah. So, oh my God. So, you know, they're interviewing me and I'm, you know, there's a camera guy and we're walking on a sidewalk outside my place and I'm, you know, looking studious and there's a lady interviewing me with a microphone. And I ended up being on two separate Inside Edition episodes, right? And they had people who were distributors for Sunrider who'd been completely screwed over. And you know, I don't know, two or three people or something like that. It was a big expose, you know. Now, did this slow Sunrider down? Not at all. Nothing.
You know, never. Not at all. They're cockroaches. MLMs are cockroaches. You cannot kill them.
Yeah. So one day, and so Tefu had made me come work on July 4th. So before Inside Edition, I get a last check and he didn't pay me for working on July 4th. You know, I guess he thought that was extra and he owed me a little bit more money. So I thought, well, the hell with him. I'm taking him to small claims court. So I take him to small claims court locally in the South Bay of Los Angeles. I get there. I figured they'd have some stupid lawyer come in. Oh, no. They had stupid lawyer, oil in chin. Now healthy from eating only Sunrider products. You know, she's got her real hair back. Sherry, the flirt, and two other people there to testify that I didn't do any of the work that I claimed that I was doing, you know?
How culty of them.
Oh, completely. So the judge, he's like, well, you know, look, they're a company. You really can't go after them in small claims court like you've done. But if you have a grievance, you should maybe look into a different kind of lawsuit, civil lawsuit. I'm like, yeah, okay. And it was like, you know, $250 or something, and I claimed they owed me. So instead of paying me a damn $250, these jerks send their whole contingent over there, everybody except Tae-Fu, you know? And so, so I was like, you know, whatever, to hell with. Oh, and you know, and the judge was like, who, you know, he might've been a lawyer himself, because sometimes that's who shows up to judge small claims cases. But he had sympathy for me, you know, and I just had a feeling that wasn't the first time he did it with Sunrider stuff, you know. So I just blew it off. But then something else happened that brought Sunrider to my mind, and I thought, they're getting away with some more stuff. And I thought back to my conversations with Tae-Fu, me and him alone in his office on July 4th, that he wouldn't pay me for. And I went, So I placed a phone call to the Internal Revenue Service in Los Angeles. And I said,
boom.
Boom, yeah. I said, so I wanted to call about somebody. I don't think they're paying all the taxes they should be paying. Yeah, sir. Okay, well, you know, we get a lot of phone calls like this. What do you mean? And I said, well, it's this company in South Bay, Los Angeles, in Torrance, California. It's called Sunrider. Well, you know, that's corporate taxes. Are you accusing them of corporate taxes? I said, no, you know, the guy who owns it, he has a Chinese museum in a basement of a building that he's building himself, you know, this whole Chinese museum. And he imports stuff from China, all kinds of stuff. And I don't think he pays any taxes on it, because he kind of skirts the law on some things. Oh, really? Well, what kind of thing, sir? I said, well, like, he bought the last emperor of China's throne, and it's in the museum. He's like, wow, that's very interesting. And you don't think he paid any taxes on it? I don't think he paid any customs. I don't think he declared it. I think he's got a lot of stuff like that. So the guy's like, okay. You know, I said, here's my number. If you guys need any more information, I'll be happy to supply it. Okay. Then I forget about it. So a little time goes by. My son is, God, we've moved to Burbank. And then I'm reading the LA Times one day.
So what year would this have been?
Probably 96, 97, 95. I don't know, something like that. And I see that Tae-Fu and Oi-Lin Chen of Palos Verdes Estates, California, Sunrider Company, have been indicted for the largest tax fraud scheme and fines in Los Angeles County history. $102 million. Just
paid you that $250, huh?
Yeah, no shit. No kidding. Pardon my French. Yeah, and so $102 million, which I've regretted forever, because a little while after that, they changed the whistleblower law, because aerospace contractors were ripping off the government and selling toilets on planes for $850 or something like that. And when they changed it, if somebody blew the whistle on somebody that was defrauding the U.S. government, which Sunrider most certainly was, then the person who turned them in could have gotten up to 25%. So I could, you know.
Oh, my God.
So. It could have been like
washing your lotto ticket in the washing, you know, machine and being like, no.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, but, you know, so, you know, I thought, well, all right, you know, the guy deserved a bring down. And, you know, and we lived in Lunada Bay at one point, which is in Palos Verdes Estates. And he and his wife live not far away, and their kids. And he wanted to build a new house in Lunada Bay. And he went to deep battle with the city council. He wanted to build a 30,000 square foot mansion. And they said, no way, you can, we'll give you 20,000 square feet, not 30. No, I want 30,000. And this is the kind of stuff he did. You know, when I was in his office on that July 4th, he was telling me that he thought he was the reincarnation of the Chinese god of herbs. And he was asking me, should we put that in this new corporate slideshow that you're saying? I said, well, you know, a lot of people
He wanted you to make that claim in the corporate
slideshow. He was asking me if we should put that in there. I said, reincarnation, I might believe it myself a little bit, but a lot of people don't. So it's kind of a little off. Maybe we shouldn't put that in. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And, okay. I mean, that's so culty.
Yeah. Well, it's a cult.
Yeah. I that is what you know. I do say, but that's so culty to be like, I'm the reincarnated god of Chinese medicine. You're like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. That's it. And I forget the name. Please forgive me, Teifu. I'm sorry if I've insulted you. You know? So that, you know, that's my story, you know, and then there's a little more. So after I'm on Inside Edition, or is it before? No, before I'm on Inside Edition, I get a phone call one day from Jaifu Chin. Oh, hi, you know, I have EXL. You ever heard of EXL? No, what's that? Oh, I used to be and then I remember because I'd seen old literature. I said, oh, so you're Teifu's sister. Yeah. And you used to be in this company, right? In Sunrider, right? Yeah. And I was comptroller or something like that. And, you know, why'd you leave? Well, I think you know why I left, because you left. You know, I said, well, maybe I was fired. And she said, yeah, well, a lot of people have the same situation. And so I ended up talking to Jawa, and she is, she's got a legitimate degree. She's an immunology degree or something like that, you know. And she's still, just like Sunrider, still selling herbs, you know, EXL, which stands for something excellence. You know, that she's in Utah. And so she just went and started her own company, you know, because she tried to tell her brother to stop doing some of the goofy stuff he was doing. And he told her to get lost. And
so she went and started her own MLM.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, and, you know, in preparation of talking to you, I went and looked, and they're still doing their stuff. They still got the slick presentations. You know, God knows how much money they're making now. I don't, maybe it's more than $28 million a month. I don't know. I hope he's paying taxes, you know.
So I was looking up stats on Sunrider, and in 1997, which was during the time of the indictment, but not quite the guilty portion of it yet. They had more than 1 million distributors in the world, which is so much. As of 2009, which was the only information that I could find as the terms of distributors, they had only 300,000, which is still a lot of distributors in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that they were doing 700 million in annual revenue at that point as well, with 300,000 distributors. And they were being promoted. It's crazy. They were being promoted in Los Angeles by the Chinese Chamber of Commerce.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So like as a legitimate business, which is was happening in South LA with Herbalife, like 10 years later, but the same thing, like the government was promoting it the same way. It's interesting to me, you know, cause I see so many government connections to this, just in MLM and government, but to see that the Chinese Chamber of Commerce was actually promoting Sunrider in those areas is, it's so predatory to me.
Well, you know, it also has to do with Chinese culture, sorry to say. And for 3 months, you know, I should have learned about my 3 months with Sunrider, but for 3 months in the beginning of 2019, I worked for a company in Irvine called HerbalMax, who were, they were looking for riders. And the guy who started is this kid named George Luo, L-U-O. And I took the job because they were selling NMN, nucleotide mono something, you know. So NLM is a really, it's basically a vitamin B3 derivative. And it does have fantastic anti-aging properties. And, you know, you can look it up. And so I started taking it and I thought, wow, this is really good. It really does make me feel better. But the catch was, George's mother, Nancy Marshall, had an herbal company before that. And I think she was a naturopathic doctor or something like that. And she got into all kinds of trouble, all kinds of legal trouble. So they renamed the whole thing and they called it Herbal Max, and he's running it. So while I'm running, while I'm being their head writer and I'm doing this NMN stuff, he's selling this stuff for $300 a bottle. And they're shipping it all to China, which they're not supposed to do. And they're going around laws and how they're selling it and everything. And the China, and he said, yeah, Chinese people, you know, they'll buy anything, make them live longer. So, oh, you know,
that's like so predatory too. Like, that's just crazy that people would even, it drives me crazy.
Yeah, well, this wasn't, thank God it wasn't, you know, multi-level marketing, but it's part of the culture.
And it's that same predatory, like, these herbs are going to cure everything, interesting stuff. So there was one thing that I looked up, because I decided to follow the money with Sunrider and see where their political campaign donations went, and I was not surprised that they donated a lot of money to Orrin Hatch's super PAC, was the senator of Utah at the time.
Yeah.
Like, so there's that connection. But also, Orrin Hatch was like one of the reasons that this Dietary Supplement and Health Education Act of 1994 actually went through. And that, which is like called DSHEA, I'll link everything so people can look it up. But it basically, it allows companies, like multi-level marketing companies, obviously, but supplement companies, to make general health claims without approval of the FDA.
Oh, God.
And so that was signed into law during the Clinton administration in 1994. And Orrin Hatch was like very involved in it. And Sunrider gave Orrin Hatch a lot of money to his super PAC. So it's like, it makes sense that Sunrider would be giving him money because he's keeping this thing alive, which is the reason that these companies don't need FDA approval. It's so incestuous.
Well, I think you have to have greasy palms to be a politician of note. You know, unfortunately, whatever side of the aisle you're on sometimes, you know, and it's, I'm really, that doesn't surprise me at all, frankly, and it's terrible. And the FDA, you know, for a legitimate medical company that I work for, writing a bio of the CEO, the FDA came after that company in a rather unfounded fashion because of something he said on a Forbes TV show with the new FDA head sitting in the front row ready to go on next. So this, you know, this stuff is like nuts. And, but I think with Sunrider, you know, the fact is they'd screwed over people before me. I'm a young guy busting my butt to give them the best possible, gave them a great convention and some good publications. My wife is very pregnant. Their in-house PR married woman is hitting on me like a bomb, you know, and I'm having to tell my wife I don't want anything to do with her, you know. And so then I have one little thing, and you know, I'm going to go to see a chiropractor about my back, saving him from falling off a damn stage, him and his wife with their stupid chariot, maybe saving their life if that had happened. And then they just fired me and then refused to pay $250 or whatever I claimed, and send the wife and, you know, and three, you know, robot employees with her. So I don't care how much money they're making. These are heartless people. They're just totally heartless people. All they're interested in is money, and it's all they've ever been interested in. I don't care what their website says. You know, like here, our mission, to share the gifts of health and knowledge with mankind. Oh, wait, that's EXL. You know, what does Sunrider say? You know, so, you know, it's, you know, Sunrider, our story. Let's see what Sunrider, our story says. Founded in family. Our fusion of tradition and innovation. Yeah, ways to get around a law. Family values at work. And then it's got five people. We give back to our communities. We lead by example. Oh, God. You know, it's just
a great example they have.
Yeah, here, you know, right? It's just ridiculous, you know.
So in 1989, so right before you worked for them, a year or so, yeah. Sunrider had to pay $175 million settlement to settle false health claims that they had been spewing about.
$175
million in false health claim accusations in, I believe that was at the city level. So it wasn't even federal. It was like a city level thing. And then
I never knew that before. I never heard that before. Yeah. Wow.
And then 1995, they were indicted on money laundering and tax evasion charges, which was probably a lot of what you had reported too. Like,
yeah,
you know, like we tell people all the time, like complain to your state officials, complain to the fraud department, complain to the consumer advocates, get enough complaints and they're going to open up an investigation. That's how these investigations get opened up.
Right.
So in 95, they're indicted on that. And in 97, after 2 years, they end up pleading guilty to tax evasion. Tae-Fu also pleads guilty to customs fraud. So there
you go. Gee, wonder where they got that one from.
So there you go.
Sir. Yeah.
So he pleads guilty to that. This was leading up in a 10-year investigation. So they've been looking into them for a long time. And I'm sure a lot of what you had said helped seal the deal.
Yeah.
Tae-Fu served 1 year and his wife had 6 months of like a house arrest type
thing. Well, he was sentenced to 2 years.
Oh, 2 years? Okay.
Yeah.
He only served one, but he was sentenced to two. Yeah. He had to pay $100 million in back taxes.
$102 million
taxes, interest, penalties. And then with your little tip, they had to pay an additional $4 million to avoid the forfeit of the artifacts that they were accused of smuggling.
Oh, fantastic. I never knew that. That's fantastic.
He had to pay $4 million to keep his throne.
Oh,
my God. Tae-Fu was only 48 years old at the time that this happened.
Oh, God.
Which, it's insane. And then after all of this happened, they ended up joining the DSA, which is the Direct Sellers Association, which is the governmental lobby that protects MLMs. And so they knew, oh, crap, we did bad. We got caught. How do we not get caught? And the DSA is like, join us and we'll protect you. So they've been a member of the DSA since.
Oh, and I'm sure they've been completely fine, upstanding citizens of the world in any location in which they have installations. Yes, they do. Sure, they do.
Yeah. And on top of their Chinese museum, like you said, the news called it a multi-million-dollar art collection.
Oh, really?
They have their 30,000 square foot mansion. And they're his and her matching Rolls Royces.
Oh, how sweet.
It doesn't seem like they're doing all that bad to me.
God. Yeah. Yeah. The Rocky
story.
Rocky ride on the chariot to the sun.
The Rocky ride on the chariot to the sun. That's incredible.
And the thing is, you know, I might add this. I've got proof of all that. I kept all that stuff. You know, I didn't throw anything away. So, Tefu, if you're listening, you can call me, buddy. Man. You know, you want to buy some stuff, Tefu? You know, I won't sell it to you.
I'm like, Tefu, if you're listening, thanks for the analytic boost.
That's yeah. God. Oh, man. You know, what a mess. What a mess. You know, what a messy life people
lead. I love hearing the stories of people that stood up to MLMs and were like, oh, really? You're going to make it difficult for me? Well, guess who's going to make it way more difficult for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, God bless you for doing this. Really? Yeah.
Well, thank you. I think these are stories that need to be told. I mean, everybody's affected by multi-level marketing, but nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, you know, it's they're selling a dream, you know. I mean, these people that are getting into this and they just, you know, now I actually take Chinese herbs, you know, and herbs that are Asian, let's say it that way, you know, Gatu Kola. Ginkgo biloba is, you know, studies said maybe it doesn't do anything, but I tell you, Gatu Kola does. And one of my heroes is a guy named Li Ching Yun, who had a book written about him called The Immortal. And he was an herbalist in China who died, I think, 1932. New York Times did a full page about him because, according to Chinese records, he was either 196 or 256 years old when he died. And he was 7 feet tall. And he was a Qigong master. And he trained Chinese troops, you know. And so I actually, you can look him up on Wikipedia, you know. And I actually take some of the herbs that he took, you know. Now, is it placebo effect? I don't know. But Gatu Kola seems to help me a lot, you know. So you know, I mean, I've always been disposed a little bit to that sort of thinking, you know, natural deal. And Sunrider exploits that. But then if they don't really have farms where they're raising their stuff, it's not controlled. They're still buying things in the open market, which is what Jawa, his sister, told me too. That was one of her objections. Like, you know, we had to have better control of our products and not buy things in the open market like you're doing.
Yeah, they were buying on the open market
with
shell corporations, and then they were inflating their prices up to 900%.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that they would do such a thing. God, Lord. Oh, my. I hope you're listening, Sunriders. Yeah, get off that bus.
Right. Yeah.
God. Anyway, fun time. Well,
thank you so much for telling us your story. I love when like true crime and multi-level marketing like mix together, this white collar crime that like people don't really talk about. And it's interesting. And it's interesting that it goes along right with what I say is that when you do have these criminal charges, it's not the FTC that's doing it because they can't criminally prosecute. It's at these local and state levels. It's not at the federal level.
Yeah.
And again, report. If you see something shady, you got to let somebody know.
Absolutely.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease. I'm proof of that. Skip is proof of that. And yeah, thank you so much.
Multi-level mischief is what they ought to call it.
For sure. Jeez, man.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay. Well,
thank you so much for talking to me and sharing your story. This is very interesting story. Yeah,
a lot of fun. Well, let's see what happens. We'll see if you hear from anybody about this. You probably will.
Maybe. That'd be interesting. Be like,
what? I just got into Sunrider last week and then I heard your show.
I hope that does happen though. That has happened to me before. They're like, I just joined last month and then I heard this and oh my gosh, I'm already seeing these things. And I'm like, get out now. Get out. Get out. The earlier you get out, the less money you will lose.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Please don't forget to like and subscribe and share with all of your anti-MLM friends as well.
See you next time.